Once upon a time, in a world with faith and fairness, there was something hidden.
Down the boundary! He's gonna go! Bearcats lead!
Pitch on the way from Mikulacic.
Swing and a miss! Mikulacic gets the strikeout! And for the first time in school history, the Bearcats are going to the Super Regionals!
Get ready for a next level show.
Welcome to Chasing the Cup. Here's your host, Ryan Reynolds.
And that's my cue. Welcome everyone to another episode of Chasing the Cup. My name is Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here to guide you through another season of Sam Houston Athletics. The chase for the Southland Conference Commissioner's Cup is revving up as conference play is here, and Chasing the Cup will break down all the details. On the agenda today, we analyze the Bearcats soccer season so far. The team sits at 1-6-1 overall and has lost six consecutive matches and are looking to turn their season around before it's too late. What's the mindset of the team? How do they plan to bounce back? We discuss all things Bearcats soccer with senior goalkeeper Christina Hendershot and our one-on-one weekly sit-down. After the sit-down, of course we have our Bearcat call of the show, and then Chasing the Cup brings everyone up to speed with the most recent news in Bearcat athletics. The Sam Houston State volleyball team has caught fire after its most recent tournament, Bearcat football lost a heartbreaker at home, and men's golf wrapped up play at the Ram Masters Invitational. Chasing the Cup also previews the upcoming tennis season and the upcoming Texas A&M Invitational for the men's and women's cross-country teams. Episode 4 is jam-packed with content, so let's dive into the details after a word from our local sponsor.
Fans, want to get into Bearcats athletic events for free? Become a Texas Farm Bureau member today. Texas Farm Bureau members get two free tickets to Bearcats athletic events when you show proof of membership at the ticket office. Texas Farm Bureau members receive many great offers and benefits throughout the Lone Star State. Visit texasfarmbureau.org/sports to learn more about how you can get free tickets just by becoming a Texas Farm Bureau member. Texas Farm Bureau, a proud partner of Sam Houston State Athletics.
Is it panic time for Sam Houston soccer just 8 games into the season? Or is there still time to make adjustments and turn everything around? Things are on the downside at the moment as the Bearcats soccer team lost its 6th consecutive match last Friday against the University of Central Arkansas to open conference play. The Cats opened the season with a convincing 2-0 win over Utah State back on August 16th. A team that netted 8 first-half goals against the Cats in 2016. The big win carried over to the Bearcats' next match against a tough Louisiana Raging Cajun team that following Sunday. SHSU walked off the pitch with a 1-1 draw after double overtime, and it was all downhill from there. The team has now lost its last 6 matches and have been outscored 17-2 during that span. So, putting shots in the back of the net is clearly an issue for the Cats at the moment, but the final scores don't tell the whole story. Sam Houston has been struggling to capitalize on scoring opportunities all season. The team is putting up shots, but they're just not landing in the Bearcats' favor. Take SHSU's loss to Little Rock on September 9th, for instance. The Cats allowed an early goal in the second half and lost 1-0. But the catch? SHSU tried to answer back with shots from 9 different Cats, but they just couldn't salvage a goal. That's been the tale for the Sam Houston soccer team all season. That's why I think it's not too late. There's still 10 games left in the season before the Southland Conference Tournament begins on October 30th. A lot can change in a matter of a month, so Chasing the Cup will keep tabs on all the action. We sit down with senior goalkeeper Christina Hendershot after a quick break.
From the campus of Sam Houston State University, welcome to Chasing the Cup.
Mm-hmm. Joining us now from the Bearcats soccer team is senior goalkeeper Christina Hendershot. Christina, thank you so much for coming on the show this week. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. As always on Chasing the Cup, we like to start with a little icebreaker so our audience can get to know you a little better. With that said, tell us something not many people know about you. Who is Christina off the pitch?
Outside of the field and outside of soccer, I do a lot of homework and study a lot, and I like to hunt and fish a lot, so I do that usually on like my free weekends.
Well, I've never been hunting, but I have been fishing, and I do like the outdoors. Kind of share with everyone, you know, how you got into all that.
Well, I grew up in Gonzales, Texas, and we have a lot of land out there, and so like my dad would usually take us out after school, and he would take us to go fish and just walk around, and so I've usually just been growing up used to that. And so once we moved to College Station, we would go back like every other weekend because we still like have our land, and we would go out there and have fun.
Last season you started in 14 matches, racked up 68 saves, and posted 3 shutouts. You spent a total of 1,296 minutes in goal for the Cats. But where were you before Sam Houston State? How were you introduced to soccer?
Before Sam Houston, I was at Tyler Junior College, and before that I went to College Station High School. And so at Tyler, I played there for my freshman and sophomore year, and so it was pretty fun. And then I heard about Sam Houston, about being interested in me, and I thought it'd be a good choice because it's closer to home.
And how old were you when you first started kicking around a ball? Tell me that story.
I want to say I was around 4 or 5, because that was like really the only sport in Gonzales. I was there and I played it, and I always had to beat my brother, and so he was on a different team, and there was, you know, whenever you're little kids, you play co-ed, and so I had to beat him, and so it just kind of made me more competitive, and gave me like a drive to want to win, and so I've started that since then and haven't really stopped.
And why do you play soccer? You know, what fuels you? What motivates you?
I say what motivates me is my family, and they want me to do like the best that I can. And so I know that on the field, like, what motivates me is being better every day. And so whether that's training, weight room, my nutrition, I always try to do whatever is best to make the team better and make myself better.
You know, I can actually relate to that, you know, because my biggest fear is letting my parents down. You know, whether it's a bad choice or it's not trying my best, letting them down is my biggest fear. And they push me, you know, to do my very best at everything I do. But you mentioned diet, and you mentioned, you know, working out. Just kind of break down your daily routine for us.
Usually in the mornings, I wake up around 5:20, super early, and get some breakfast, whether that's cereal or eggs. And after that, I'll go to training. It starts at 7, and then usually straight to class afterwards and bring, like, a peanut butter sandwich or some crackers with me. And then weight room after that, and then usually a meeting, and then I finally get to go home and make some dinner. Varies depending on the day, usually some chicken or something like that, and then homework until I fall asleep.
And how many times a week do you do all that?
Usually Monday through Fridays, and then Saturdays, Sundays are games and practice.
So there's really no days off during the soccer season?
No, never.
So you played at Tyler Junior College before becoming a Bearcat. Taking a look at some of the numbers you put up over there, you led Tyler to the NJCAA National Tournament as a junior. You notched 20 victories in 25 starts, averaged 1.02 goals against, received NJCAA Region 14 honorable mention, and was named to the NJCAA All-Academic Team. So a pretty successful JUCO career from you. How did playing at a junior college help develop your skills, and would you recommend playing at the JUCO level first?
For me, playing at a JUCO, it made me appreciate the sport more, because my freshman year I didn't really play much, so it tried to motivate me to practice harder so I could beat out the other keeper, and I think I played maybe around an hour total my freshman year. And so knowing that I had to be like the best that I could be in order to play like really motivated me. And so my sophomore year, realizing that I wasn't playing with these girls ever again, it kind of tugged on the heartstrings, and so it made me want to play even better and harder. And I guess it gave me like another chance to try to show like what I'm made of, instead of just not playing soccer or just kind of quitting on the sport. And so it made me appreciate what I had in front of me.
So it kind of gave you practical college experience. Would you say it slowed things down for you before transferring up?
It definitely did. It helped me out tremendously. Like, I'd honestly say it was a good choice for me, knowing that like I could go somewhere where I knew I was going to play and get experience and touches on the balls instead of going to a bigger school and not really ever seeing the field or not even playing soccer.
So coming out of College Station High School, you didn't really have that many offers, did you?
I had a couple. There was a couple up north. I know there was one in Illinois, and me being the rebellious teen, I was like, oh yeah, I have to go there, but I decided staying in Texas would be a better choice, and Tyler was only 3 hours from home, so it was a good choice for me.
So proximity to home important to you. Would you recommend other students who don't really have the D1 offers to, you know, go play in JUCO first and then maybe test the waters after?
I definitely would. Honestly, like if they don't have like big D1 offers or anything and they have something from a junior college, I'd say take it, because you're going to get the experience that you need and the chance that you deserve, especially if you still have the drive and the want to play.
So you're playing at Tyler Junior College. How did you end up at Sam Houston State? Tell me that story.
Like in my heart, I knew I wanted to be closer to home, and I had a couple offers that were around San Antonio and more East Texas, but Coach Rose, my coach from Tyler, came up to me whenever we were lifting one day, and he asked me what I thought about Sam Houston, and I told him, I was like, well, I mean, that's a good school, like, I think I want to go there, blah, 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 and he was like, well, what about playing soccer there? And I was like, oh, like, that'd be pretty fun. And so that's kind of how I figured out about Sam Houston, and I came here on my visit and talked to some of the girls on the team, and I knew that it was a place for me.
So transitioning to your time at SHSU, what would you say has been your greatest memory here, either on or off the pitch?
I'd say my greatest memory was, like it sounds bad, but breaking my wrist and having to come back from that and push myself to be better and like be stronger than I was like after I came out of that. And so it motivated me to do what I needed to do to get the job done.
Wow, how'd you do that? And tell me about the recovery process.
I broke it in January of this year. We were in practice and we were scrimmaging, and it was a low ball to my right. And I remember taking the shot and then getting up, and I was like, okay, like that kind of hurts, just thinking I tweaked it. And we went to weight room afterwards and I did a hang clean, and that's whenever I realized something was really actually wrong. And then I played on it for a whole month and then went to the doctor and they told me the news, and I had surgery. And then after surgery, I was out for another 12 weeks. And so that was really hard on me, not being able to use my hands or catch any balls or anything. And so over summer, I spent all of May, June here trying to run and lift and get back into shape and take more balls. And then July, once we started up with our preseason, it was a lot easier coming in, like having like that like extra workout, and so it made it a little easier on me, but it was still mentally tough the whole time.
You lifted weights with a broken wrist?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
Awful.
So you spent about 2 months rehabbing this broken wrist. Was there ever any thought that, hey, maybe I won't play this season?
Yeah, there was a lot of thought of that. Like, there's a lot of negativity and darkness in my mind that I was just like, okay, like, I just need to overcome this. And so once I finally figured out I was cleared to play, like, it was a little weight off my shoulders. But apart from that, like, before going to the doctors and figuring that out, like, it was really difficult. Like, it was a good strain on me.
So let's take a closer look at your duties on the field before wrapping up. You're a goalie. That's a pretty important position. It requires high IQ, good reflexes, on-the-spot thinking. How do you go about preparing yourself mentally for a game? Do you have any pregame routines or rituals or anything like that?
Usually before a game, I'll listen to some music and try to like make my mind go blank. And I play my bubble shooter game on my phone every time I have to. Usually, like, I'd say like my outfit, I wear the same like sliders, same sports bra, and I always wear my camo Crocs every time.
I played goalie for a year. Granted, I was like 6 or 7 years old. That's, you know, the kind of soccer where everyone's just kind of following the ball, running around. But I do know that lining up on that line to defend a penalty kick would spike my anxiety through the roof. What's going through your mind when you're one-on-one on that line getting ready to defend a PK?
I just have to block the ball. That's the one thing, like, I keep thinking is, like, block the ball, like, make the save. And so as I'm getting ready for the shot, I will step out of the goal. I'll be off the line until the ref tells me, like, I have to be ready. And so I can watch the players. I usually, like, look at them, look at their body shape, and, like, I watch their eyes, and sometimes it'll tell me where the ball's going. But as soon as, like, they're going to kick, I look at their plant foot and their hips and take my best guess on where they're gonna shoot.
So you kind of look at like where they're cutting their eyes to, like hey, out of the corner of my eye, I'm looking at that left corner.
Yeah, there's sometimes, like, you can tell, and some players will look hard to their right, and you know they're not going right. They're trying to trick you, and so it just depends on the player.
Speaking of tricks, I want to know some of these one-on-one mind games that are going on between the goalie and the PK taker. You know, when you're just lining up on those lines, and it's just one-on-one. What is going on there?
I don't know. It's just difficult. Like, if you watch players on the field, like, whenever they're like, playing and everything, and you can see what they do and which foot they shoot with, so it kind of prepares you for knowing if there's going to be a PK or a shot taken. And so it's kind of tricky sometimes, like, trying to guess what people are going to do and how they're going to do it. And it's just something you've, like, over, like, constant repetition and having to practice over and over and over again, you get more used to, but it's something that'll never be like a solid constant. It's always changing.
So let's focus on the season for a second. As I mentioned earlier in the program, 6 straight losses. What's the mindset of this team right now?
Right now, it's a little tough and challenging, but I know it's something that we can overcome. Like, we definitely have the skills and the tendency to beat the teams that we need to beat. There's a lot of effort that we need to put into the field and playing and trying to win. And it's something that I believe that we can do, and I know that we can go far.
There's a little bit of a lull on the offensive end right now. Y'all are being outscored 17-2 during this losing streak. How do y'all plan on turning things around, and what is head coach Tom Brown saying to y'all?
We've been working a lot on, like, shooting and attacking and stuff. So as long as we can finish opportunities and create more chances, like building out the back and getting the balls up to our forwards, I think we'll be very successful. And so Tom's just saying that we need to keep putting our effort in, like, keep trying our best and keep doing what we need to do in order to finish the ball. We've been training hard this week, doing a lot of running and trying to get ball work done and a lot of touches on the ball and a lot of shots and shot stopping. And so I think that's preparing us really well for this upcoming game. And it's just something that we need to keep putting effort into the field and keep working hard, and I think we'll secure the win.
And there's still a lot of time left this season. There's 10 games. There's 10 games left to be played. But our time is running out here on Chasing the Cup, and I want to talk a couple more things. One of them is the Southland Conference Commissioner's Cup. I spoke with Athletic Director Bobby Williams on the first episode of this podcast. He made it apparent that winning the Commissioner's Cup is a big overall goal for the department. How much is it talked about around the locker room, and what does the Commissioner's Cup mean to you?
We talk about it pretty frequently, just trying to do our best in order to secure points for the Cup. And for me, it means that, like, we have a great program, like, if we do win. And that's something that I hope that we do. And so it means that, like, I know that, like, the whole entire department's been working hard, and we've all been trying to focus on a single goal, which is to win and be the best that we can be in the Southland.
I don't know how I can sit down with you and have a conversation about soccer and not bring up the Bearcat Bandits. How can I forget? Talk about the level of support from them and the atmosphere at Pritchett Field.
They're very supportive. I know that they like to motivate our team to do better, and they're always messing with everybody, and so it's kind of fun getting to hear them say, play soccer good. And every game, no matter what, rain or shine, they're out there doing their best to make sure that we'll win and give us a good motivation. It's a good feeling knowing that we have people there to support us and just motivate us to do better. And while I'm on the field, I kind of just zone in on the game and not really focus, but I know that it motivates some other girls on the team who are sitting there listening, and they're kind of tired, and they hear, like, you can do it, and they're like, okay, yeah, and they start running faster, kicking harder. And so it's pretty awesome.
You gonna miss it?
Very, very much so.
What about it are you going to miss?
I'm going to miss waking up early, even though I absolutely hate it, and going to practice and working out and seeing everybody every day. It kind of tugs on the heartstrings a little bit, knowing that, like, I only have a couple more weeks left, and it's something that I've done my whole entire life. It'll just kind of be in, like an old pastime.
I'm guessing you try not to think about it too much.
Yeah, I'm trying to just think about, like, these next games and not truly worry about, like, looking super into the future and what I'm going to do without soccer.
Well, let's kind of do that right now. You know, Christina, you're a senior. You're about to graduate. What's next for you? What's in the plans?
I'm hoping to join, like, the workforce and get in there. And I do want to sell cattle feed. I think that's been, like, one of, like, my goals. A lot of my family does it, and I think it'd be interesting to get in there, and because I know my dad, he works in a cattle feed business, and he travels a lot, and he gets to meet new people, and he seems like he's having a good time, and I think that'd be something that'd be kind of fun.
And I'm guessing you plan on staying here in Texas?
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully around this area.
Well, there's still a lot of soccer left to be played before the Southland Conference Tournament. The Bearcats will travel to Corpus Christi on Friday. That game will start at 7 p.m. Then, the Cats will take on the HBU Huskies in Houston on September 23rd, that game also being at 7 p.m. I wish you and the team the best of luck moving forward. And thank you again for coming on the show, Christina.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, we have our Bearcat call of the show. And after, I give you the weekly update. You don't want to miss it. Stick in with us.
Fans, register to win a trip to the Battle of the Piney Woods, courtesy of Texas Farm Bureau Insurance. Visit BearcatsContest.com and enter to win the chance to root your Bearcats to victory when they take on Stephen F. Austin in Houston at NRG Stadium. One winner and three guests will receive suite tickets, pregame sideline passes, and a parking pass. Register today at BearcatsContest.com. Texas Farm Bureau, a proud partner of Sam Houston State Athletics.
For the Bearcats, Bright, Mitchell, Ramirez, Rollins, and McDaniel. It will be Bright inbounding it to Ashton Mitchell. Mitchell will bring the ball down the floor for the Cats. 24 left on the clock.
This is what it's all about.
McDaniel, he's got an open look at a three. Jameer McDaniel drops a dagger. He answers the three-pointer on the other end, and the Bearcats back up by two. 58-56.
That was cold-blooded.
And that was our Bearcat call of the show, brought to you by our very own executive producer, Jason Barfield. That call was from the men's basketball 2007-2008 season, and man, was it a dramatic finish. Jameer McDaniel hit a three-pointer for the Cats with 20 seconds remaining to give Sam Houston State a 58-56 victory over rival Stephen F. Austin at Johnson Coliseum on January 24, 2008. The victory placed Sam Houston in a tie for first place in the Southland Conference West Division, and they went up their overall record to 15-3 and 3-2 in the Southland Conference. Ryan Bright led Sam Houston with 11 points and a career-high 18 rebounds in that game. We have a ton to recap in today's weekly update, so let's get right into all the action. The Bearcat volleyball team is on a four-game win streak after completely sweeping the competition last weekend at the UT Arlington tournament. The Cats played three matches, one against Belmont, another against Grand Canyon, and closed out the tournament with a game against tournament host UT Arlington. SHSU won all three matches in straight sets to close out the non-conference portion of its season. Madison Wallace was named the tournament MVP as she averaged 6.22 digs per set for the weekend and was joined on the all-tournament team by both Taylor Cunningham and Ashley Lewis. Now, all eyes are turned to Southland Conference play. What will the Bearcats accomplish this season? SHSU dominated conference play a year ago, winning its first nine matchups, but then lost six of their last seven to close the season, resulting in a first-round SLC tournament exit. The Cats are poised to have another great season, and it all starts with the first two conference games this week. The Bearcats match up against McNeese on Thursday, and Lamar on Saturday. Both games are at Johnson Coliseum, and students and faculty get in free with their Bearcat 1 cards. Thursday's match against McNeese will start at 6:30 p.m., while Saturday's contest is set to begin at 1 p.m. Turning our attention to the gridiron now, the Bearcat football team dropped six spots in the Stats FCS poll on Monday to number 11 after losing their first game of the season to North Dakota last week. The 24-23 loss was the first at Bauer Stadium for the Cats since 2015, and to be honest, it showed that the Cats still have a ton of work to do as the program tries to fill the holes left by one of the greatest graduating classes in Bearcat football history. Some key stats in that game: Kyron Jackson scored his first two touchdowns in a Bearcat uniform and added 65 yards on 16 carries. Davion Davis hauled in 7 passes for 71 yards, and Hunter Brown had 10 total tackles on the defensive side, 5 solo, and 1 pass breakup. Looking ahead to this week, the Cats have another tough test. This time, it's on the road against Southland Conference foe Nicholls State. Historically, this matchup has always been in the favor of the Bearcats. The Cats have won 11 consecutive games against Nicholls and have not lost to the Colonels since a 37-17 defeat in 2005. The 11-game win streak is the longest current streak for Sam Houston over any opponent, and they'll look to continue that dominance on Saturday. But like I said, this is going to be a tough matchup, and the key to victory for Sam Houston is winning that trench battle. The Bearcats failed to get pressure on North Dakota's quarterback last week, and that resulted in a loss. SHSU needs to put pressure on Nicholls quarterback Chase Forcade, or they won't get the result they're looking for. The Bearcats also need to get their offense going if they want to win. Here's a crazy stat people should keep an eye on throughout the season. Sam Houston has led the nation in total offense each of the past 3 seasons, but it currently ranks 88th this year, averaging 322 yards per game. I know it doesn't help when a program loses caliber players like Jeremiah Briscoe, Corey Avery, Yedidiah Lewis, but averaging just 322 yards per game just isn't Sam Houston's identity, especially when you have 2 of the best receivers in the nation with Nathan Stewart and Davion Davis. 2-time Walter Payton winner and former Bearcat Jeremiah Briscoe actually took to Twitter and discussed the matter with fans by saying, quote, "I have no doubt Nathan Stewart and Davion Davis will put it on their shoulders and get it going. We started 0-2 and lost to Lamar at home week 2 my sophomore year and went on to the Final 4. Don't lose faith in those guys. Hashtag eat 'em up." End quote. Saturday's matchup against Nicholls State will be a true test for the Cats, and it'll be interesting to see how this Bearcat unit responds after a tough loss the previous week. Kickoff for that matchup is set for 3 p.m. in Thibodaux, Louisiana on September 22nd. The last sport to recap this week is men's golf. Following their third place tie last week, the team competed in the Ram Masters invite on Monday and Tuesday and walked away with a 12th place finish. The Cats closed with a final round of 295, dropping 4 spots in the 17-team event. William Holcomb was the top finisher for Sam Houston, closing out the tournament in a tie for 22nd after shooting a team-high round of 70 on Tuesday. Holcomb's even par round included a birdie on number 1 and a pair of birdies on the back 9. Freshman Grayson Blunt closed out the day with a birdie on hole 18 and finished 38th overall. Noah Steele was 43rd, finishing the tournament at 9 over. Camden DeBonis was 58th, and Levy Valdez was 92nd. The Bearcats will be back in action this weekend at the Trinity Forest Invitational hosted by SMU at Trinity Forest Golf Club in Dallas. In addition to those 3 sports, it's time to get ready for the tennis season. Head coach Rob Hubbard released the Sam Houston tennis schedule last week, and the action is starting soon. Aiming for another successful season, the Sam Houston State tennis team will begin its 2018-19 campaign on September 21st through the 23rd at the Rice Invitational in Houston, Texas. The Cats are returning 6 veterans and welcome 6 newcomers for the 2018-19 season. Team captain Emma Barkovic is the lone senior on the squad, and Luis Chobanian is the one student athlete in the junior class. Sophomores Wendy French, Asney Hill, and Sahaji Almapali, and Roos Gerritsen all return for the court and will be joined by junior transfers Carla De La Luz Montevallo and Stevie Yabara. 4 Cats, Riley Rufin, Isdora Zivokic, Maulu Goose, and Petra Kazas, make up SHSU's nationally ranked freshman class. Last season, Sam Houston chalked up 14 dual match victories, which was the most ever in any of the program's 4 decades of NCAA tennis competition. The team also picked up valuable Commissioner's Cup points by finishing 3rd in the Southland Conference regular season final standings. The Cats followed up with a semifinal performance at the league's postseason tournament. For all the latest information on the Sam Houston State tennis team, visit GoBearcats.com or follow at BearcatsWTEN on Twitter. Along with tennis, the men's and women's cross-country teams will be back in action on September 22nd at the Texas A&M Invitational. The teams last competed in the Rice Invitational September 7th, and they both placed 6th out of 12 teams. And that pretty much wraps up this week's show. Remember to head over to GoBearcats.com at any time and check schedules, stats, and scores for all 17 SHSU athletic programs. Also, tickets are cheaper if you buy them in advance at GoBearcats.com. So if you're thinking about going to an athletic event, pre-purchase your ticket on the website, and it'll save you some money. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at BearcatVid or follow my personal Twitter at @RPRTalks. I want to wish everyone a good day or night, whenever you may be listening. See you next week. Ryan Reynolds, signing off. Chasing the Cup is a presentation of Sam Houston State Athletics and the Bearcat Sports Network. This episode was hosted and produced by Ryan Reynolds. Jason Barfield is the executive producer. Special thanks to Christina Hendershot, Ben Reichard, and Sharon Carrico. Music courtesy Twin Musicom, John Daly, William Rosati, Freedom Trail Studios, Endless Love, Sir Cubeworth, and the Green Orbs.